afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America listening to us on the Internet, you can reach us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And here in the Monterey Bay area, it's 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But hold your calls right now because we have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Dr. Michael Kaufman. And Dr. Kaufman has been one of the leaders in the whole effort to expose the way that the environmental movement is being used to alter life here in America forever. And you know, when you talk to people about that, it seems so ridiculous. I mean, why would anybody want to alter life here in America? We have a wonderful life. We live better probably than almost any other group anywhere in the world today. We're prosperous. We're comfortable. The world's at peace. And yet you have to understand there are people who have a different vision of the world. In fact, Maurice Strong was quoted in West Magazine back in 1990 saying, the only way to save the earth, which is being destroyed by industrialized society, is to destroy Western civilization. As amazing as it seems, that plan is well underway today, and that's really what we're going to be talking about with Dr. Kaufman. Dr. Kaufman, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be back with you.
Well, now, we're going to talk a little bit about the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which actually was sort of the cover for the Global Biodiversity Treaty, which the Senate refused to ratify, but which the administration, because they're really not concerned about what our elected representatives want, the administration is just going ahead and implementing the various aspects of this treaty, which deals, and the purpose is pretty well outlined in this 1,140-page report, which you've gone over, that talks about all the things that aren't sustainable. What is not sustainable and is going to have to be done away with here in our society?
Well, almost everything that humanity does as we exist in the, especially in the Western civilized world, is not sustainable.
But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the American people aren't going to accept that.
No, and they never hear it from their lips. However, if you go down through the list and actually look at what is sustainable and what is not sustainable, what you basically find is that there is nothing that really is sustainable. Agriculture is not sustainable. One of the things that really became very clear in the Global Biodiversity Assessment, as we were reviewing it that frantic last day before the ratification of the Convention on Biological Diversity, before we gave it to the Senate, was that agriculture is horrible. We must stop the use of fertilizers. We must stop the use of pesticides, killing practices, you know, almost all modern agricultural practices, because it was so destructive for the environment, and especially that on biological diversity.
But Dr. Kaufman, if we do that, where are we going to get the food for people to eat?
Well, that's a very good question, because they actually said in the Global Biodiversity Assessment, if you haven't heard this already, hold on to your hats, that even though they know that the ability to produce more food from the Green Revolution that has occurred since the 1960s has been due primarily to fertilizer, to genetic improvement, use of pesticides, all of these things, nonetheless, they're so horrible, even though in the process, just for fertilizer by itself, let alone pesticides, genetic improvement, just the reduction in the use of fertilizer was going to cause a 50% reduction in the human in the ability to produce food for human beings.
But that would lead to mass starvation.
Yes, it would. And, of course, with mass starvation, there becomes pestilence and there comes wars and all the rest. And that ties right into another part of the document. Now, they're not making this linkage. I'm making this linkage. But another part of the document, it says that the overpopulation of mankind on planet Earth is so bad that we must reduce, either do one of two things. Either we must become agrarian peasants, that's what they called it, or we must go back to a total world population of human beings to about 1 billion people. One or the other. Either we go back to agrarian peasants, are we eliminate two-thirds of the human population in the next 30 to 50 years. This is what this Global Biodiversity Assessment said. This is why we're able to use it in on the U.S. Senate floor to stop the ratification of the convention, because it is so horrible. It is literally horrifying, and yet this is the very document that was to be used to write the implementing language for the treaty itself once the U.S. Senate had ratified it.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing, Dr. Kaufman, is despite the fact that you brought this out on the Senate floor a couple of years ago, because of the degree of control over our media, most Americans never heard what you said, what was said on the Senate floor, or have any idea what this incredible, incredible plan really is all about.
I know, and it's tragic because when the liberal press gets their hands on this, even if they bother to look, they will actually ask the United Nations for their version of it, just take their version of it at face value. If not the reporters, let me just assure you in the listening audience, I've traveled all over the world, and especially in the United States, most reporters are intellectually honest. They're right, trying to do the right thing. There's two problems with our journalists today. First of all, they're not journalists. Secondly, they are very lazy. They do not do their own research. And thirdly, if they do the research, very often they're blinded to what they see because of their liberal training.
But don't you think also many there are people within the editorial staff?
Their editorial staff is where you have your problems. No question about it.
We're going to have to just take a quick break here, and we have Dave Wilson with us.
You know, Dr. Stan, I was thinking this afternoon as I was driving over here listening to the radio, just about every Christian ministry that you can listen to on talk radio these days has selected Lifeline as one way where supporters of these various ministries can give their wholehearted support to the ministry. And so I want to assure the people who listen to Radio Liberty regularly that Lifeline has been a part of the Radio Liberty chain of support for many years. In fact, I've had my Lifeline as my long-distance carrier now for going on 3 years, and cannot tell you exactly how pleased I am. I am extremely pleased. Everything runs flawlessly in terms of my long-distance carrier service. And, of course, Lifeline has dedicated themselves to not supporting the offensive things that are contrary to the beliefs of most of the people who listen to this radio program. One of the neat things about Radio Liberty, of course, is that we are listener-supported. And often people aren't able to support us the way they'd want to. This is an absolutely painless way for you to give your note of support to Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-545-9533. You can tell the person who answers the phone there that you'd like to switch your long-distance carrier over to Lifeline. And by doing so, you then designate as the beneficiary of 10% of your long-distance calling charges, Radio Liberty. And then every month, 10% of what you pay at reduced long-distance rates, I might add, will come right here directly to Radio Liberty to underwrite the cost of putting on radio programs such as you're listening today. The number to call, 1-800-545-9533. I'd like to encourage you most sincerely to consider getting Lifeline for your long-distance carrier. Do it today.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Michael Kaufman. We're talking about the incredible Biodiversity Assessment Report. Incidentally, we have a complete summaries of everything we're talking about here available at Radio Liberty. We have a 4-tape set on sustainable development, which is available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, you can get the documentation for everything that is being said here today. Well, Dr. Kaufman, we were talking about the fact that they've said that agriculture, using herbicides and pesticides and using even farm machinery, is not sustainable. And so we're going to have to go back to the sort of primitive forms of agriculture we had before the agricultural revolution. They're even talking about limiting access to water for irrigation, aren't they?
That's absolutely true. In fact, that is one of the major features of something we'll be talking about in the next half hour, is limited use of water in the new Clean Water Action Plan. So it's, you know, it has a fairly major impact. I just want to read a quote to you, to the listeners out there, from Maurice Strong in his opening comments at the Earth Summit back in 1992. If you have any doubt of this, Maurice Strong right now is in charge of revamping the United Nations, making it into a world government that they hope to have in place by the year 2000. This is what he said back in 1992. It is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class, that's you and I, and everybody in the listening audience, including those who might be on welfare or other means of federal
aid or support, right.
Right. He goes on to say, involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen foods and convenience foods, use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable. So if you live in a house, suburban house, or if you use, if you eat meat, or if you have, frozen foods and convenience foods and so forth, you're in this class. And he says that it's not sustainable and a shift is necessary towards lifestyles less geared to environmentally damaging consumption patterns.
And of course, they actually believe that the internal combustion engine is not sustainable.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have to do away with the automobile, do away with generators, do away with all of these things that are being used today to make our lives more comfortable.
Yes, and it's very ironic that that's, I believe, what the whole purpose of the Convention on Climate Change is all about, that we heard about so much in Kyoto, Japan this past December, that it was primarily there, not because we're having global warming. We're not having global warming, folks, not at all. At least not from environmental problems, but from the fact that they want to eliminate the combustion engine, internal combustion engine.
And so they're using that, like they used the spotted owl to shut down lumbering. They're using the threat of global warming, or the horror of global warming, to justify what's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
And now here in California, of course, it's just been freezing cold. In fact, we even have our heater on here in the middle of May, early in the morning and late in the evening because it's so cold. But actually, worldwide, there has been an increase in temperature, but having nothing to do with greenhouse gases. Isn't really the major greenhouse gas water vapor?
Yes. In fact, I think it's something like 93% of all the greenhouse capacity of our atmosphere is in the form of water vapor. It's only like 7 or 8% or so that's due to CO2 and methane and a variety of other things.
And doesn't that actually make plants and other things grow
Absolutely.
Far better?
Absolutely. You know, the salt, what they call the actual optima, the global optimum temperature occurred about 6,000 years ago, was a full degree warmer than it is right now. And when that happens, you can have more CO2, which is food for plants, and plants make oxygen for you and I to breathe. So CO2 is usually a limiting factor in plant growth, food production, tree growth, your grass. Well, maybe we don't want the grass to grow as fast, but nonetheless, it will grow faster with more CO2. All these things grow faster, and it will produce more for us to eat and utilize in our natural civilization. So, you know, CO2 is a very, very positive chemical in our environment. We don't have nearly enough of it as far as the plants are concerned. And when we have more, it will actually benefit us tremendously.
Now, it's my understanding that global temperature measurements by satellite have actually shown, up until the first of this year, that the temperature since about 1950, 1960
Yes.
has actually dropped a part Right. of a degree. And then starting in January of this year, associated with massive sun flares, something we haven't seen to this degree for a long time throughout the rest of the world, there has been global warming, not related at all to increasing CO2. But how do the sun flares impact on the temperatures here in the United
States? It's a very good question. They don't know. The scientists don't, the astronomers and so forth don't understand the physical relationship of what happens with solar flares. It's been a fascinating study. When I saw January's global temperature from the satellites, I went right out of my seat. It's gone up a 0.7 degree in 1 month. I mean, this is astronomical for a global temperature to move that far that fast. And then I found out that they had some massive solar flares. We lost a satellite in January, on January 20th, due to these solar flares. It just fried it because of all of the solar activities and the ions and so forth that were streaming out from the sun. And that process somehow, and they still haven't figured out exactly how, does actually affect the Earth's temperature. Back in the period between about 1550 and 1750, that 200-year period, it's what's called the Little Ice Age in America. In other words, the maximum solar temperature, global temperature we had was 6,000 years ago, lasted for several hundred years, and then it started cooling off and so forth. And then in the 1700, it literally, the Earth almost went back into a ice age. And what had happened during that period of time, the astronomers of those days, they don't have the instruments that we have now, but they were able to observe the sun. And what they found for almost 150 years is that there were no sunspots, none whatsoever. And if the sunspots, when you start to see sunspots, that means you're having a lot of these solar eruptions, a lot of these solar storms that create the magnetic flux and so forth that seem to be related to our temperatures. Well, here you had in this 1500, 1600, 1700s, the little ice age, when it was, we're almost back into a period of time when the ice sheets were beginning to flow again. Back in 1200, you remember Greenland was settled by the Vikings. They actually grew corn and a variety of other crops in Greenland. And by 1700, that Greenland had 5 miles of ice. That's what happened during that 500 or 600 year period. The Earth really cooled off. And since that time, there's been increasing and increasing and increasing. The period between 1987 and 1991, 10 years ago, was the most active solar energy output in recorded history. And guess what? It's even worse in this cycle, because this cycle has had two major historical highs in solar activity already, one in January and one in April, in which exceeded all records known by man up until that particular point in time. And they've been predicting now for 10 years that this particular period, this next 4 years, are going to be the most, we're actually going to see the most solar activity we've ever seen, mankind has ever seen. You can expect the temperatures of the Earth to probably go up a full degree or more.
Well, then, of course, our politicians, those people who want to use global warming to justify taking away our freedom and taking away our cars and taking away our air conditioning and our electricity, then they'll be able to say, gee, it's just like we always said. But
that's right.
Wasn't there recently some 15,000 scientists
who signed a statement? In fact, we have now to 17,000. 17,000 scientists. Let's put it this way. There are 15,000 PhD-type scientists out there, and there are others, about 2,000 scientists that have their masters, that sort of thing, in this combination that have signed a petition sent out by Dr. Sloat Setz, who was one of the major, he was the chairman of the National
Academy of Sciences?
Academy of Sciences, right. Thank you very much. And a variety of other things, but nonetheless, they basically have said that they say that there is no scientific evidence that man is causing climate change, period, end of discussion. I mean, it was that clear cut. They go on to describe the actual data behind that particular phenomenon, and it's a fascinating study. They're hoping to get it published here quite soon, but it literally lays out what is actually happening and why it's happening, and it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with man activities.
But you see, the thing is that they have to have a problem to justify the crisis that they see, and only through that crisis can they get the people to go along with gradually lowering our living standards, transferring industry out of the United States to other countries, and all of the things that go along with this global warming treaty, this climate change treaty that they've actually signed, even though the Senate has refused to ratify it, they're going ahead and implementing it anyway because they don't care what our elected representatives feel and they don't care what the American people feel. Maurice Strong and his lackeys here working at the highest echelons of our government have their own agenda, and that agenda is they're going to alter our way of life forever.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with you. Congress has just become a minor hindrance to them, a little thorn in the side, and not the very big thorn at that. Congress has almost been neutered as far as this agenda is concerned. They're just going and implementing it anyway through executive orders, through executive fiat. And the American citizens, you and I, the American people, are going to wake up one of these days, and it's probably going to happen. It could happen very gradually. I don't know how it's going to happen. Nobody does. But it could wake up, we could wake up one day soon, just like the citizens of the old USSR did within a 2 or 3 month period. All of a sudden, we have lost everything, and it's going to be too late when that happens.
Well, we're going to be back in just a few moments with Dr. Michael Kaufman. At that point, we're going to tell you how they are in the process right now of tearing out dams on many major rivers across America to destroy the hydroelectric electricity, to actually create more problems with flooding. An incredible story, but don't even think about changing that dial. Right now, I want to mention some of the things we have here at Radio Liberty. If you would like to verify the facts behind global warming, we have a 4-tape audio set on this, along with one of the people we've interviewed is Dr. Sally Balius, and of course she's from MIT and the Wilson Observatory here, and she'll give you the whole background of sunspots. Now we've also put together an excellent 4-tape set on sustainable development, this whole concept of the Biodiversity Treaty and the planned destruction of Western civilization, some excellent analyses of the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You need to have this information so you can begin to discuss this intelligently. And if you order that 4-tape set and ask, we will give you about a 30-page summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, unless you, of course, want to read the full 1,148 pages of it. Well, all these are available, and many other sources of documentation are available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the 4-tape set on global warming. Ask for the 4-tape set on sustainable development. You need to have this information so you can discuss with others and begin to educate them as to this plan. And believe me, it is a diabolical plan to alter life here in America forevermore. Once again, the telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Henry Kaufman, and we're talking about the problem of the Global Diversity Assessment Report, the Global Diversity Treaty. In fact, Dr. Kaufman was primarily responsible in explaining to the United States Senate exactly what the Global Biodiversity Treaty was, and effectively blocked that here several years ago. However, this whole concept is being implemented despite the fact that the Senate has not ratified it, Congress has not authorized the money to do many of the things. The administration, because it is working independently, because we have executive orders that allow the president really to have almost dictatorial power here in the United States, we are implementing step by step a program which is destined to alter our lives forevermore. Now, one of the big things we're seeing as we watch television today and listen to the radio, we're hearing about the terrible problems with water. Oh, there are terrible water shortages. In fact, I hear a few months ago when the rain was coming down, our creeks were full of water. We heard about the impending water shortage. And of course, here in the Santa Cruz, many years ago, there were plans to create a reservoir up in the mountains, the Zayanti Reservoir, that was effectively blocked by the activists. Talk about creating reservoirs over in the Carmel, Monterey area. That is being blocked. Why are they blocking it? Because they want the problems. And, of course, only by having the problems will they be able to come up with their solutions, piping in water, which will make agriculture so expensive that the farmers are just not going to be able to continue growing the food. Because, you see, the activists really don't want our farmers growing food because it violates the earth and Mother Earth. Why don't you pick up on this idea of the how they're using water and the so-called water shortage to bring our people under their control?
Well, it's obvious. Let's start out with the obvious. He who controls the water controls the people. We've heard of that statement made about food. We've heard it made about land and so forth, because land, food, and water are all essential for life. Without those things, we can't live, period. I mean, there's just nothing we can do. And as a consequence, he who controls those entities will control the people that have to depend upon them. And that's one of the reasons, and of course water is the best one, because water, especially in the western United States, is a rare commodity. You don't have enough of it, and as a consequence, we need to have access to water. And so what the United Nations has done is literally, through Agenda 21 and a variety of other things, recommended that the national governments, or the states as they call them, begin the control of water to make sure that everybody has water equitably. Well, of course, that's just baloney. When the government has it, nobody gets it equitably. One of the things that they're using that for, of course, is just to get that power, and then once they have it, you will not have water unless you do what they want you to do.
And, of course, I suppose they'll destroy the small farmer and then, of course, the large corporate farmers that are certainly favored by government will then control the agricultural supply. And if you control the food, then you can control the people as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it all links together, doesn't it? Very nicely.
Right.
One thing you have to say about these people is they're not dumb.
No, but I would say they are diabolical.
They are definitely diabolical. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say that those who are really in control of this are evil. No question about it. There's a lot of people out there that are just implementing this because they don't know any better. But nonetheless, those who actually understand what's going on are truly evil, and the whole effort is truly diabolical. Because most people that sit in Los Angeles or San Francisco up there where you are and that sort of area, that sort of thing, they don't have a clue as to what these things really mean to them in the long run. They have been so divorced from the reality of what it takes to bring and bear life that they have no idea that food just doesn't automatically appear in the grocery store or out of their food, water out of their faucets. And as a consequence, they're in for a rude awakening, and it's tragic. These are not unintelligent people. It's just they've lost a connection to reality.
Well, of course, the problem is, because of the degree of control over the media here in America, this plan to destroy Western civilization, to bring our people down to a much lower standard of living, and the fact to dramatically decrease our population, these things are never discussed by Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw.
No, that's right. They certainly are not, and that's the unfortunate thing about it, is because they are literally we are being dumbed down as a society. It's not only happening in our educational system, but it's also happening to you and I with the quality of news we get, no question about it. And this is all planned out. If you read Agenda 21, what you'll find is the fact that the United Nations, or the nation states, with the strength of Agenda 21, the United Nations need to take over the control of water, water supplies, who gets what, water quality. And that's now being implemented by President Clinton, not only in the American Heritage Rivers Initiative, which I'm sure you've talked about here in the past, and will likely have the 10 rivers listed here within a week or two sometime. It can be any day, really, now, because the committee's met. They've narrowed it down to 20 to 30 rivers. President's likely to list them very soon. Not only that program, but now the Clean Waters Initiative, or Clean Water Action Plan, is out. It's available. You can look at it. And, in fact, if you want to grab a pencil, I'll give you a website in which you can actually find this information. It's www.epi, E-P-I, E as in Edward, P as in Paul, I as in intelligence, .freedom.org. Go to that, go to the Global Agenda, and then look up the Clean Water Initiative, and what you will find there is an astonishing plan. Literally mind-boggling in its magnitude. The federal government, through executive order, once again, is embarking upon phase two of the Clean Water Act. Phase one was targeting the point pollution sources of pollution. Now we're going after the non-point pollution sources, such as agriculture, forestry activities, family farming, that sort of thing, where anybody that could potentially cause any kind of pollution to our waterways around the United States will be under the thumb of the EPA and other federal agencies.
And boy, there's nothing more fun than being under the thumb of the EPA or a government agency, unless
Absolutely.
Maybe it's having a root canal or having an IRS audit.
Yeah, it's right on the same par,
right,
isn't it?
Right.
It really is. Let me just give you a couple of hints of what they're trying to do with this new Clean Water Action Plan. With this new Clean Water Action Plan, they are going to set aside 2 million miles. 2 million miles. Keep that number. I'm not saying 2,000. I'm saying 2 million miles of river corridor buffer zones that will average anywhere from 100 feet to 15 miles, depending upon how big the river is and the watershed and so forth. Now, think back about the Convention on Biological Diversity. Now, the Convention on Biological Diversity is using the Wildlands Project as this template, as you recall, and that is requiring corridors, usually found along rivers, somewhere anywhere from a couple hundred yards wide to 15 miles wide. They're identical. They're exactly the same thing. We have 3.5 million miles of streams and rivers in the United States. 2 million of these are going to have stream corridors exactly as prescribed by the Convention on Biological Diversity.
And I think, Dr. Kaufman, what is so important for our listeners to understand is that the executive branch of our government is using dictatorial power to carry this out, and it's done under, as you say, the executive power that comes from the War Powers Act that was actually put into force back in 1933, has never been done away with. And any of our listeners who would like a Senate report that was put out in 1973 by Senator Frank Church and by another senator, and we actually have the first few pages where they will tell you, as of 1973, for the last 40 years, we have not had a constitutional government here. We have basically an authoritarian type of government. Now, 35 years has gone by and nothing has changed, but the average American doesn't understand. He thinks if he elects his congressman, he's going to be able to do something without realizing that Congress really has no power over what the executive does. We, in effect, have a dictatorial form of government.
We really do.
And if you'd like to get a free copy of that, you send a self-addressed stamped envelope to us at Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. We have a four-tape set on the War Powers Act. We have this directive with the first few pages of that 900-page Senate report. And we'd like to have you have it. We'd like you to be able to read it, to document it, and then let people understand. And the fact that you're not hearing about this from the media reflects the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. We've got Helen on the line. Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
Fine, except I have kind of a bad cold.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Bob and I just came from Cabo San Lucas.
Right.
And the development going on around that coastline is unbelievable. And each of the huge, huge developments had their own desalinization systems.
Okay, so they're in other words, they're creating fresh water by taking seawater and cleaning
yes.
it up, right.
And we've had that technology forever. And here we are in around our waterfront. Our farmers are going to be limited in the use of water and the production of food and all kinds of things. When we have right under our nose the capability of using our ocean water.
Well, Dr. Kaufman, how do you respond to what Helen said?
Well, you know, it's a very frustrating thing because she's right. I've often discussed the fact that almost all of our problems could be resolved.
Yes. But you see, they really don't want to resolve them, do they?
No, they don't. But they could be resolved because all of our problems hinge on water.
Right.
We can grow more crops. We can feed more people. We can take more baths and so forth if we had more water. What is water dependent upon? The ability to desalinize and to transport it. And what are they doing? They're taking out hydroelectric dams, which are the cheapest form of electricity that we have. That's happening now in Washington, the state of Maine where I live, and a variety of other states. They're beginning the process of taking out these dams because, quote-unquote, it hinders the natural ecosystem of the riverway.
I'm going to get back to that in just a minute. Helen, we've got somebody on a cell phone. Thank you, sir, very much for calling. Hi, is this Roy?
Yes, this is Roy. How are you doing, Dr.
I'm doing fine. Did you have a question for Dr. Kaufman?
Yeah, I had a quick comment. I know that in the Pajaro Valley and surrounding, I think, the San Lorenzo River as well, they're designating it under the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, as the steelhead being endangered in those waterways, and they want to restore it. And they're talking about having 100-yard setbacks.
Yes.
From all the tributaries to the Pajaro River and the Pajaro River itself, which is some of our finest farmland. And at the 100 yards where they may just say you can't do anything, they certainly don't want to spray pesticides.
That's exactly what they will be saying.
And, of course, what they're going to do is destroy the farmers in our community, and it's about time somebody spoke up.
Yeah. Right. In fact, that's going with the new Clean Waters Action Plan. That is kind of the standard for the whole country. You will not have access to your rivers and streams through these new buffer zones or corridors that they're establishing. You're going to have to set up separate watering troughs for your cattle or your livestock. All of these things, are the streams are literally going to be off limits now for any kind of use whatsoever.
Yeah, they're going to extend the riparian woodlands from the edge of the creek or river all the way out, you know, 100 yards.
Yes.
That's going to take a lot of nice farm ground out of production. So people need to listen up, call their legislators, and get on the case. And I appreciate you being on, Dr. Kaufman.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Let me just build on that.
We're going to have to just let Dave go ahead, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right.
I hate to interrupt in this kind of a conversation right now, but there are some resources that we have here at Radio Liberty which will help our listeners understand the conversation that we're having. One that comes to mind, Dr. Stan, is Goddess Earth, Exposing the Pagan Agenda Behind the Environmental Movement by Samantha Smith. You know, Samantha Smith has been a guest on this program often and can be remembered for writing this book that states so clearly this blatant pagan agenda that underlies most of the things that we're talking about here today. You've alluded to it briefly this afternoon about how we're harming the earth, we're injuring the earth, we're going to disturb the earth's natural ebb and flow, and so we've got to get rid of a whole lot of the human population that are plaguing this earth. If you think that's a wild thing, ladies and gentlemen, you need to read a book like Goddess Earth, Exposing the Pagan Agenda of the Environmental Movement by Samantha Smith. It's available from Radio Liberty at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Another book on the same subject, similarly done, a little bit newer, is Under the Spell of Mother Earth by Barrett Choth. And Barrett Choth, of course, is a regular guest here on Radio Liberty, and she has put together a book which explains how concern for the environment and mysticism is really causing us to move back towards an ancient form of nature worship. Both of these books are available from Radio Liberty if you call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
There are a number of books that are very important for you to get. One of them is written by Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. Tragedy and Hope is a history of a secret society that took over control of England and brought England in first into the Boer War and then into the First World War, and then the spread of that secret society to the United States. Professor Quigley names names. He names the people who are working behind the scenes, how this covert organization gained control over America's great banks, over America's industry, and over the American media and educational system. Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, is one of the most important books you'll ever read and will give you the information you're going to need to survive in times like these. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR to order Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Michael Kaufman. We're talking about the Global Biodiversity Treaty. We're talking about the plan to eliminate a large part of the population of the Earth. And Dr. Kaufman, you have an excellent book. Why don't you tell our listeners how to get your book?
Well, Saviors of the Earth, it does go into the not only the religious side of the environmental movement. And folks, all of the books that have been advertised so far on this program are excellent, excellent books. I know these authors personally. They have done a great job in explaining what it is. Saviors of the Earth, it goes one step beyond what Barrett and Samantha have done, and that is it explains the political ramifications and how they're doing it and how they're actually going about implementing it. Helen Chenoweth from Idaho, the congresswoman from Idaho, has said you cannot understand what's going on in the world scene today without having read this book. And now we have an updated supplement that's included with the book. When you buy it for $17.50, you can call 1-800-799-9878. That's 1-800-799-9878 to order this book. And it's well worth it because you need to understand what's going on. We have videos, we have audios, just like Stan does, that'll help you frame this issue.
And that's 1-800-799-9878. And it's an excellent book. I have it. In fact, I think we're probably going to start carrying it. But right now, if you want to get a copy, you call 1-800-799-9878. It's an outstanding book, and it really goes into so many of these incredible things. These people are deadly serious.
They're very, very serious.
And it's the same sort of occult mentality that existed in Adolf Hitler's Germany in the 1930s.
It is exactly the same. We're heading down exactly the same path. I didn't want to say that up until a couple of years ago, until I saw for sure the clear signs, but that is exactly what's happening. We're duplicating what happened in Germany in the late 1920s and 30s to set it up so that there was a power vacuum that Adolf Hitler could walk into.
It's sort of like deja vu all over again.
It really is. It's tragic.
Well, I want you to go a little bit more into this incredible story of the fact that they're actually tearing out dams on some of our major rivers, which is going to lead to flooding, which is going to lead to a loss of hydroelectricity. But then they're not going to need hydroelectricity because there really aren't going to be so many people. They know something that the average citizen out there doesn't know.
That's right, and the fact is that many of us in Mr. and Mrs. America are not going to be around in 5 or 10 years if they get what they want. Because they are looking, Bruce Babbitt has said that dams are one of the most damaging things for ecosystems across the American plain. That all dams, as far as he's concerned, should come out and restore the river ecosystems of Mother Earth.
Michael, when you say that, people are going to say, that's crazy. I mean, tear down the dams. You spent all these years building the dams. You've got whole communities dependent upon the electricity that comes from these dams. But aren't they actually tearing out the dams today?
They're actually tearing them out today. There are three dams in the state of Washington that are either in progress right now or will be soon, by this summer sometime. One in Maine that's scheduled for this summer to come out. There are several other states in which they will start ripping the dams out within a matter of a year or two. And some of the dams that are under very, very serious study right now is to eliminate all the dams along the Columbia River Basin.
Now that would be what, the Grand Coulee Dam?
The Grand Coulee. I can't think of all the names of them, but the ones that were built from the 1940s on.
But doesn't this stop flooding?
Absolutely. It stops flooding in Portland. Well, any dam is used. That was the reason they were put in. They were put in for purposes of flood control, and they work very well for that purpose for 90% of the storms. But nonetheless, because they hinder the actual free movement of water in these ecosystems, they are scheduled. Now, if you read very carefully the Clean Waters Initiative and the Clean Waters Action Plan, and the American Heritage Rivers Initiative, you'll see the word restore. Restore back to natural conditions. That word is meaningful, folks. What they mean by restore is that they mean taking out the dams.
And of course, I think when people realize the implications of what they're saying, because without the flood control, of course, we'll have tremendous loss of private property and homes. And then, of course, without the electricity, we're not going to be able to heat our homes or have the industry or all the other things that an industrialized society is dependent upon. But if you read this government report put out by the United Nations under the auspices of Marie Strong, who today really is the man who controls the United Nations, Kofi Annan simply being a figurehead for Marie Strong, why, you'll find that these people have a plan, and they feel the best thing to do is to destroy Western civilization.
Absolutely. They have said it many, many, many times. Mikhail Gorbachev recently has reaffirmed that very same statement, that we must reorganize civilized world. And in fact, our president of the United States says that he is literally reconforming the world. I mean, he said that in a press conference in Brazil last fall.
And didn't Albert Gore say that something, there were going to be retching transformations of the earth, some words to that effect?
That's right, that because the earth is in such serious problems that he must undergo, the United States, the American people must undergo a wrenching transformation of society that, he said, will cause people to suffer and sacrifice.
But, of course, that's just you and I. That's not Al Gore or Bill Clinton. They're not going to suffer and sacrifice.
Oh,
that's just us common folks.
After he wrote that book, he paneled his family room in ancient old-growth redwood.
And he's the man who says we ought to limit families, you know, to one child. But, of course, how many kids does he have?
Yeah, six or seven, if
right,
I remember right.
Well, of course, you have to understand that there is the elitist mentality, and then they look upon us common folks really as simply being problems as far as, you know, just using up all the natural resources of the earth. When they talk about population control, what do you think they really intend? Because we're hearing more and more about biological and chemical warfare here in the United States, the very real threat. And instead of vaccinating the general population, they're going to store the vaccines. Once the people get sick, it's too late to get them the vaccines.
That's right.
Why, if they're really worried about bacteriological and chemical warfare, would they be storing the vaccines rather than giving
it to
people?
Yeah, they ought to be giving it to the American
people. Why? What possible reason would there be that for that illogical public health approach?
Exactly, other than the fact that they might want to keep some for themselves so that when they are ready, they can inoculate themselves and therefore be immune from any major manufactured biological disease. But you know, it's also interesting, there's two other things that could be happening here. The Y2K issue, for instance, if it's as serious as those who are in the know claim it to be, we could be actually facing massive, massive starvation in our cities within a year and a half, maybe even a year. By the middle of next year, it could happen because of the whole breakdown of our transportation and communication system.
Well, of course, under those circumstances, Bill Clinton, that great humanitarian, could invoke the War Powers Act executive orders and have a dictatorship literally overnight.
Literally, wouldn't that be nice for him? I mean, if you start putting all this together, it really starts to horrify you as to how slick they really have been over the last, well, let's say it's last 4 or 5 years especially. It's actually gone on, of course, a lot longer than that. And as we talked about before the program started, it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats. There are more conservatives, more people that are on our side in the Republican Party. But, folks, they don't dominate the Republican Party. It is really a matter of, as many within Congress are now saying, between nationalism and globalism.
Right, of course, and the tragedy is that the leaders of both political parties, both the Republicans and Democrats, are dedicated to the New World Order, the New World Economic Order, and the New World Spirituality that Mikhail Gorbachev keeps advocating. And for our listeners, anybody who would like a copy of that Agenda 21 report made out by the United Nations Committee here in Santa Cruz, one of the prototypes for it, would be glad to provide that by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And here you'll find the quotations that they put in from Mikhail Gorbachev and from Marie Strong. You see, the people here in Santa Cruz look to the real leaders of the world for their direction. Well, Dr. Kaufman, we're drawing to the end. We've got about a minute and a half. What parting thought would you like to leave for our listeners?
Well, I would like to leave you with this parting thought. We have elections coming up next November, and it's tragic that we do not see more Americans out there from the conservative viewpoint like you and I are, that are actually running for U.S. Congress. We could stop this within 6 months if we had a veto-proof Congress of Americans that are willing to stand up for the Constitution, are willing to actually sacrifice for what our forefathers have sacrificed for all these years to give us to what we have right now. And yet we do not see them out there. We do not see those people that are willing to make that kind of an effort to actually campaign and so forth to go into Congress. Now is the time to stir people up and make them aware of what's happening. There's actually the possibility, I believe, very strongly, that we can take existing candidates that are somewhat neutral, but just are blind, do not know what's going on, but basically have a good ethics system and so forth, and convince them of what's going on and turning them into strong conservative candidates as well.
Well,
we need to do whatever we can to bring this message to Congress, to get Congress to start taking action against the President of the United States.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Michael Kaufman. The telephone number to get Saviors of the Earth and the other material Dr. Kaufman has, which is excellent, 1-800-799-9878. Thank you so much. God bless you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I hope what was said this afternoon disturbed you, because you should be disturbed. I mean, if we'd been living in Germany in the 1930s, and they'd had talk radio, and people were trying to tell people what was going on, maybe they could have saved the German people from the terrible, terrible suffering that they had to go through when they had people who were dedicated to the occult in positions of power. Ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton was bringing occultists into the White House to conjure up the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. Does that disturb you at all, that we have people dedicated to pagan religions at the highest echelons of our government? And if you haven't read Earth in the Balance by Al Gore, you ought to read it, because he's a dedicated disciple of Gaia, of Mother Earth, the pagan religion, the mother goddess of all pagan religions. Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Liberty has an important message, but we need your help. We honestly do. If you believe in what we're doing and would like to help us to expand our ministry, to be able to do what we do and do it better, we'd love to have you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a gift of $20 or more a month, we'll send you our four best tapes. We'll send you our newsletter. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on behind the scenes and the exciting things that we indeed are part of. Dave and I have an opportunity to really be one of the leading ministries in America today, and we're being consulted by leaders all across America. But we need your help. If you believe in what we're doing, if you believe that we're sincere, if you believe America is in trouble, if you're concerned about your children's future, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and say, I want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I want to become part of the team. If you don't do it now, who will? And if you don't do it now, when? Remember again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.